Hallelujah. That's why the message for today is entitled Saved to Serve. And the reason why we put saved first is because I believe if you have not fully experienced the powerful, amazing, loving, undeserving love of God, it's really hard for us to serve others with the right heart, with the right motivation, and you know, to continue on. We need to have a point of reference. I think all of us, our point of reference is Jesus. How many say amen to that? Amen. Let me start the message by telling this story. There was a story about three friends who survived a shipwreck and was stuck in a small deserted island. One day when one of them was strolling by the beach, he saw a bottle that was washed up on the shore. They were good friends. You know, they love each other. They were best friends. And one guy went out to the shore, walking around, and then saw this bottle, and then he brought it to his other friends, come to find out that this bottle was actually a magic bottle. Wow. So the other guy said, rub it, rub it, rub it, right? So the guy rubbed it, and behold, poof, a genie came out of the bottle, right? So when the genie came out of the bottle, because he was there for so long, he said, hey, I'm going to grant you one wish each. So the other guy got so excited, say, okay, me first. One of them said, okay, genie, I miss the comfort of my house and I miss my family. I want to come back home. Please, I wish to be back home right now. Poof, he was out of the island and he was back to his family. And then there were two. And the other guy was so excited too and said, you know what, genie, you know, I really wish to be back with my wife, not because I miss my wife, because I miss my wife's cooking. I'm so hungry. Please, please, I wish to be back home so that I can eat my wife's cooking. Poof. Wish granted. So he's back home eating his wife's cooking. And then there was just one. And the genie asked the person, okay, you're the last one, and, you know, what do you wish for? You know, genie, I've been standing here for a while, and I'm just so lonely. I'm just so lonely right now. And I need my friends back here. Okay. I wish for them to be back. Poof, wish granted. And they started to kill one another. I know this is a funny story, but in reality, this is what selfishness can do. This is the kind of attitude that focuses on oneself that robs the ability to serve others. It is more concern of what one can get instead of what one can give. It tries to find satisfaction on things, pleasure, self-serving, self-glorifying accomplishments that cannot truly satisfy because one will end up wanting for more. I like that. Thank you. Some people will even go to the extreme of lying, stealing, cheating, slandering just to get ahead or to get what they want. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that one should not think about oneself. But if we think that life is solely about us, then we are missing the point for living. Winston Churchill says, we make a living by what we get, we make a life by what we give. Powerful statement. Now, in saying this, Jesus showed us an alternative, unselfish, and better way to live our God-given lives. But for us to fully grasp this, we need to first understand how he graciously served us by saving us from the consequence of sin and death. He gave his very life when he died on the cross for the payment of our sin. He did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And by experiencing his salvation, our eyes will be open to the truth of how much he loves us. And this truth transforms us. How many of you know and understand that the love of God transforms us from within? Amen. Hallelujah. Because of our gratitude in how He served us and by saving us, we find ourselves naturally and sincerely wanting to serve others, beginning in our homes, church, community, and workplace. You know, our main text for today is one of my favorite narratives in Scripture, which is found in John 13, verse 1 to 17. This is where Jesus showed His disciples an explicit example, a clear example of how we ought to serve one another. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say to them, I'm created to serve you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. If you are lying, you can repent later, okay? I'm just joking. Hallelujah. Now let's read John 13, verse 1 to 17. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open it. And if you don't have your Bibles, you can just look at the screen and follow with your eyes. Jesus knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own and who were in the world, He not now showed them the full extent of His love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil was already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from the Father and was returning to God. It was just before the Passover. So He got up from the meal, check this out, took off His outer clothing and wrapped a towel around His waist. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash His disciples' feet. What a sight. Drying them with the towel that He wrapped around Him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to Him, Lord, are You going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You don't realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, Unless I wash you, you have no part with Me. Then Lord Simon Peter replied, Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Look at Peter. Right? He wanted to take a bath after that. It's amazing. Verse 10. Jesus answered, A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For He knew who was going to betray Him. And that is why He said not everyone was clean. When He had finished washing their feet, He put on His clothes and returned to His place. And He said, Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Look at verse 17. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Amen. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for who You are and what You've done. Thank You for Your goodness upon our lives. We thank You for just allowing us to experience Your presence, O Lord. I pray, Lord, for all of us in this room today, that You will just give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what Your Spirit will say. Spirit of God, You are our teacher. Speak through us. Speak through me. And I ask, O Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, that You will just open up our minds, open up our hearts, open up our ears so that we can freely receive what You want to freely give us this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Can we just give the Lord a clap offering for that wonderful, wonderful story in Scripture? Now, in your outline, we will first look at John 13, verse 3 to 10. So if you open your bulletin, you'll see the outline in the middle of the page. And I want you to look at first letter A, which is one of the main points, which is biblical principles from Jesus' example of serving others. And principle number one is this: serve others in humility. How many say amen to that, right? As we see it in Scripture, Jesus has actually exemplified what humility is all about. You see, washing of the feet was a customary form of hospitality during ancient civilization. It was a time where the choice of footwear were sandals, not Nike, Asics. It was sandals, you know. This is one of the reasons why they did this. So, you know, you travel from one place to another, your feet get dirty. So when you enter in someone's home, you know, they have something prepared for you so that you can actually wash your feet. But it was also customary practice for either the owner of the house to provide water and basin for his guests to wash their own feet, or for the servant of the household to fulfill this duty of washing the feet of the guest. Look at this. Jesus took the opportunity to teach his disciples about humility and showed it by taking the role of a servant. Imagine this. Removing his outer garments, wrapping a towel around his waist, and proceeded to wash his disciples' feet. And check this out. Even the feet of the very person that was about to betray him. Judas was part of that. I mean, if I was Jesus, I know all things, right? And I know Judas is, I'm going to wash Judas' feet. You know how he turned water into wine? I would have turned that water into acid. Thank God I'm not Jesus, right? Amen? So you see, this is what Jesus did. Now, Jesus, the person who deserved to be served, was the one serving. The ones who did not deserve to be served, especially Judas, was the one being served. Jesus wanted to teach his disciples that even I, your master and rabbi, have done this to you. Do it to one another. So in other words, regardless of your position in life, one is not greater than the other. I'm no greater than you. You are no greater than me. At the foot of the cross, all of us are on level ground. How many say amen to that? Sometimes we just serve the people who we think are deserving to be served because of the position that they have in life. And if we are like that, or we have that kind of perspective in life, guess what? Then we're missing out on what Jesus is trying to teach here. All of us are in need of God's grace, and all of us in that sense are on level ground. Amen? In humility, may we understand that all of us are not deserving of Christ's act of service when he died on the cross for our sin, but yet he still died for us. In Romans 5:8, the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, he already chose to serve us. While we were still doing the very things that God didn't want you to do, he already served you and I by dying on the cross. While we were still sinners. As a church, my prayer is that all of us will truly understand this. And as we humbly serve one another, we will not pick and choose who is deserving or not. But just like Jesus, he still served the very one who he knew for a fact that will betray and reject him in the very end. Amen? Another biblical principle that we can learn from this Jesus example of serving is to number two. Serve to share life with others. Amen? Let me read to you again verse 6 to 9. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "Do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No, Peter." "No," Peter said. "You shall never wash my feet," Jesus answered. "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, "Not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." When Jesus said in verse 7, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand," and in response in verse 8 to Peter's refusal to be served by Jesus, when he said, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me," I believe that this particular saying of Jesus, when he said this to Peter, he was not only referring to the act of washing of Peter's feet, but to the ultimate act of service that he did for all humanity by dying on the cross for our sins. So in a sense, when we truly receive by faith what He did for us on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, His life is infused in us. In other words, He gave His life so that we can have life with Him. So you see, this act of service that Jesus is doing is not just the washing of the feet. It's more than that. It's actually what happened after that. You have to understand that this narrative happened just close. This was before the crucifixion of Jesus. He knew what He was going to do. And that's why He said to Peter, "You know what, Peter? You don't understand what I'm doing this to you. But later on, after you experience everything that you will experience after this, and you see me hang on the cross, and then after 3 days rising from the dead, and then after that, you will understand why I'm doing this to you." Why? Because you're going to do the same. You're going to serve others the way I served others. You're going to serve others the way I served you, that even though you did not deserve it, I still chose to serve you. Why? Because you are valuable, because you are worth it. And if we don't get this right now, then we cannot really fully serve others because we don't see the value in them. If we know for a fact the value that we have in Christ Jesus, knowing and understanding that when He died on the cross, we did not deserve that act of service, but yet He still did it for us, then we will know our worth and value in God. And if we know our worth and value in God, then we will know the worth and value in the person next to you. Look at your neighbor and say to them, "You are valuable. You're valuable." How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. So in a small way, that's what happens when we truly serve others. When we share life by giving our time, treasures, and talents to serve people. How many say amen to that? So that's what happens. That's really what happens. When you serve one another, the principle here is not only that you are serving them just for the sake of serving them. When you serve others because you are reflecting the kind of service that Jesus gave you, you are actually sharing life with them. Amen. Now let's go to the second part of the message, answering the life application question. How can we joyfully serve others? First main point under letter B, which to me is foundational in serving others joyfully, is to, number one, make Jesus our motivation, right? So Jesus is our motivation. I may say amen to that. Amen? All right. Let's read again verse 12 to 14. "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. 'Do you understand what I have done for you?' he asked them. 'You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you.'" Look at verse 15 again. "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Having Jesus as our motivation in serving others will help us serve others with genuine love. How many say amen to that? Amen, right? Look at Mark 10, 45. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." And the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3, and this is just an amazing verse to read, and it will just open up our eyes to see if we have the right motivation in serving others. Look at this one, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Wow. So in other words, in serving other people, if we don't have the right motivation, even though we appear as if, you know, we're serving them, we can get to the point of what I call self-serving. So in other words, I serve you because I want something from you. That's why the Apostle Paul said, here, look at this, "I give all I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flame, but have not love, I gain nothing." Let me say this to you. I can fool you, you can fool me, but you can never fool God. I mean, God can see right through you. God can see right through me. And the reason why I said first that our motivation should be Jesus and Jesus alone, because when we make Jesus our motivation, then we will have the right motivation for serving others. Does it make sense? And this message is good. Why? Because it's opening up our eyes and our hearts to the reality and the truth that, hey, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this, feeding the poor or feeding the neighbors or helping my neighbor? Why am I doing this? Am I really doing this to glorify God? Or am I doing this because I feel good in doing this, which is part of it? But if that's the end result of your serving, then you're missing the point. That's why if Jesus is our motivation, then we'll end up having the right motives in serving others. I may say amen to that. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say to them, you cannot fool God. You cannot fool God. Amen. You cannot. Amen. To serve others is not a natural thing for us to do. Much more to serve others joyfully. Because of our selfish nature as human beings, we tend to desire to be served than to serve. Or if when we do appear to desire to serve others, the motivation behind it is just to get something what we want. There's this one story, so funny, because when the church was still, you know, in its beginning stage, I think Pastor Fred, we were in West Covina. Oh, no. I was not saved yet. I was not even in church. Let me go back. You know, I was still... You know, what you call this? A heathen in the film. I'm just joking. I was still doing stuff that was not really glorifying God. But, and I, because, you know, my wife has already been a Christian for the longest time. And I remember she was telling me this story that in the church here, because she's one of the worship leaders, you know, she worship led her earlier. And if you look at her, she's gorgeous, man. Beautiful woman, you know. I'm just so blessed. It's a beauty that I don't deserve, you know. And that came from my mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is, you're going to treat me lunch later, mother-in-law. Okay. So, say the apple does not fall far from the tree, right? Yeah. So my wife is beautiful, pretty. So, and then she was single during that time. So, obviously, there were other boys, you know, going to church, not because of Jesus, but because of her. You know, trying to court her, right? But I was not yet a Christian. I was still doing my stuff in the Philippines. But guess what? God knows everything. God knows our future. God says, you know what? Let me put a fence around her. This is not for you. This is for Boyet. She's already safe for someone, okay? So that's, right? So they tried to court her. And to make the long story short, when my wife, you know, kind of like said, you know, friend zone. You know, I like you. You're just a friend. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're friend zone. Guess what? Next Sunday, they're not there. You know, sometimes what motivates us to go to church, right? Right. Hopefully, sometimes that's the start, right? You see someone and you like someone, but hopefully that someone will point you to the very one that you need the most, which is Jesus. How many say amen to that, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. But when serving others is motivated by a genuine love that comes from our genuine loving relationship with Jesus, then it becomes sincere, not coerced or forced, but life-giving and transformative. In realizing what Jesus has done for us through how he has served us and experiencing his love for us out of our appreciation to him, we can love others sincerely because he has perfectly loved us. Always remember this, and I say this. We can serve without loving, but we cannot love without serving. I may say amen to that. Secondly, having Jesus as our motivation in serving others will help us serve others without discrimination. C.S. Lewis said, one of my favorite thinkers, if there is equality, it is in his love, not in us. Look at verse 43 to verse 48. Jesus said, you have heard that it is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's hard. How many know that's hard, right? We need the grace of God to do it. He says here, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. I can pray for that person. Lord, I pray that when he walks down the road, he will fall flat in his face and just... No, not that kind of prayer, right? Look at verse 45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the east, rises on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Look at this one. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. How many say amen to that? So when we have Jesus as our motivation, we will serve others without any discrimination whatsoever. Regardless if they don't look like us, smell like us, act like us, God has called us to serve without any discrimination whatsoever. Whether they can give you something in return to the service that you give, or whether, you know, they can help you. Regardless of where they are in life, God has called us to serve people without any discrimination whatsoever. You see, let me say this to you. It is easy to love the lovable, right? But when it comes to serve those who are difficult, unreasonable, ungrateful, and everything else that defines unlovable, please do not look at your neighbor. We truly need to be motivated by Christ's love. And let me say this to you. When it's hard to look at people that you are serving, when they are being difficult, when they are being unreasonable, ungrateful, and everything else, we need to look at Jesus, starting in your homes. You see, when we talk about service, I'm not just talking about serving in the church or serving in your community. We need to start serving first in your homes. Let me ask you this question. As a husband, have you served your wife? As your wife, have you served your husband? So you see, sometimes we just think about, you know, we look good when we're at church, right? You know what I'm trying to say? You put your Sunday clothes on, you put the usher pin, hey, I'm serving. You know what I'm saying? But if your wife is at home complaining, you see, what's more important to me is what's happening in the house than what's happening in the church. Because your first church is your home. And if we learn how to truly serve one another in the house, you know, my wife really loves this. I keep on example because my wife she's not my challenge, but she grows me as an individual, right? I'm saying, grows me. Her love language is actually the act of service. You know, I grew up as a spoiled brat. You know, because in the Philippines, you know, came from a well-to-do family because my mother is a doctor. And, you know, I had everything that I had, you know, that I want in life because my mom provided for us. And I love her for that because she did very well in her career. And, you know, we had helpers in the house. You know, this is in the Philippines, you know. And then, you know, and it's something that I grew up. So I would never pick up for myself. You know, I would just take off my clothes and somebody would pick up for me and put it in the, you know, that's how the life that I live, you know. And then when I got married, everything changed. I'm in America, no helpers, you know, it's a different lifestyle. So in our first year in our marriage, you know, she would always get mad. We would always have an argument because I would not wash the dishes, not take out the trash, because I thought that automatically somebody will do that for me. But that's not the case. But as I, you know, grew in our marriage and learn more about God and learn how to serve her and knowing and realizing what God has done for me and my role as a father in the home, I've realized, man, I need to start serving first in my house. I was very, 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 very passionate in serving in the church. Believe me when I say this. When I got saved in 1992, January 26, 11:45 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. When I first came, When I first gave my life to Jesus, I was passionate. Pastor Fred knows. I would be in church. I would be going to all his Bible studies because he would lead 5 Bible studies in a week because the church was still growing during that time. And I would go from one Bible study to another, and I would, and not only that, on the weekends, I would serve and play drums, but I would not clean my room. I would not do anything in the house. Forget that. It's the Lord's house that I want. But I was not wise. But I've realized that the church first is your home. That's your church. And if you are a father here, you are the pastor. You should be the one leading your family to the things of God. And if you're a single parent here, guess what? You have that duty to really lead your home. And I believe it, by God's grace, you can do it. I've seen single parents, can we give them a hand? You know, you guys are doing an amazing job. So to make the long story short, I've learned to serve the way Jesus served. And I started, kid you not. This is one time. So I just got convicted. And I was vacuuming. And remember this, love language of my wife is acts of service. So I was like vacuuming, showing my biceps a little bit here, you know what I'm saying? Like, vacuuming. And I just like in the corner of my eye saw her just looking at me. It's like, whoa. Look, I said, why are you looking at me? I said, whoa, why? She's looking at me. And she was like, and she said, with her smile on her face, I did not know that that was a, you know, something that she really wanted me to do. And just to make the long story short, I was happy that night. Very happy, very happy, happy. I'm going to stop there. Acts of service. Husband, serve your wives. Amen. You're going to thank me. Give me a Starbucks gift card after this, okay? Amen. Having Jesus as our motivation in serving others helps us to serve without expectation. How many say amen to that? Amen. Ephesians 6, verse 5 to 8, the Bible tells us, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eyes is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Look at verse 7. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Verse 8, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. How many say amen to that? We give not to get, but we give so that we can reflect the love of Christ. I love this verse in 7 again. It says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Having this kind of focus as we serve the people around us, starting in our homes, church, community, and workplace, will enable us to give with no strings attached. Because Jesus is already our reward, we serve without expecting to be rewarded, not expecting to be appreciated or to be seen. We serve because we have already been served by Jesus. You see, if your motivation is Jesus in serving others, let me say this to you. Your goal in serving is not for you to receive some reward, because Jesus is already your reward. Is Jesus more than enough? Let me say this. If Jesus is more than enough, then you don't need the rewards that comes out of serving. Sometimes those things that we do in serving others and we do get rewards is just bonus. But we already have our reward. And if you don't, you know, be appreciated because of the things that you do, it's okay. Why? Because Jesus is enough. And if you serve others and they don't, you know, respond to how you're serving, they don't say thank you, they're not grateful, that's fine. I'm not going to be affected by it. I'm still going to serve you. Why? Because Jesus is enough. If Jesus is your reward, and that is enough, and other things are just bonuses. You getting a certificate of achievement, you having this and having that, those are just things that even though you don't have them, it's okay, I'm still going to serve. You don't need me to give, to get, you don't need to give me all these things for me to continue to serve. Why? Because Jesus is enough. Amen. Amen. We serve because we have already been served by Jesus. The second main point under letter B in how serve others joyfully is to know that others is the mission. Amen? So look at your neighbor and say, you are my mission. You are my mission. Okay. Amen. 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 John 13 to 15, the Bible tells us, you call me Lord and teacher, rightly so, for that was I am. Now that I, Lord, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Joyfully serving others brings internal rewards. Okay, that's the first one. I guess all of us already know the popular saying that says it's better to give than to receive, right? Why is that? There is something about serving and giving that transforms us from within. It gives us a sense of satisfaction, meaning, and purpose in life. Especially when we see how a person's life has been positively impacted by our service. Secondly, joyfully serving others brings external rewards. Look at your neighbor and say, external rewards. Let me tell you the story about this one person. And he was just in junior high during this time. And he was a loner, didn't have any friends. And then he was just really down and out, and he was really contemplating of just wanting to end everything. So he was just walking. This is the last day of school, and he was just walking to his locker room in the school and got all the books out. But because, you know, there was too many books, so he left some of his books in the locker. So while he was walking home, some bullies from the school came in and just mess around with him, you know, hit the books, and the books was all over the place. It was just added insult to injury. These kids didn't know what he was going through. So that kind of like pushed him at the end of the road, and he's just carrying his books, and when he went to his room, he had a plan. Say, you know what, this life is not worth living. I don't think I want to live anymore. This is really difficult. And he figured, okay, I'm going to have a rope. I'm going to have this. And then by tomorrow, because I still have to get my stuff at school, I don't want my parents to really, you know, I don't want them to go to school and be embarrassed of getting my stuff and facing all these things. So before I do end my life, I'm going to do it tomorrow after I get my stuff in school. So he had a plan. He had everything that he had. So when he went back to school, and on the way, there was this one person who just greeted him and said hi to him. Hi. And that hi ended up into a friendship. And then that friend actually ended up having him coming over, say, hey, why don't you go to my house? I just want to get to know you more. So to make the long story short, they end up becoming best friends. So that day that he was planning to actually end this life was postponed for another day because someone took the time to say hi. And that one day, another day, and another day, another day, to the point that both of them were actually graduating from college. And the beauty of this is that this guy was really smart. He was top of the class, even in college. So at the graduation time, he stood behind the podium because he was the valedictorian. He was assigned to say something. And then from out of the crowd, he pointed to his best friend, which the friend didn't even know what was going on. He looked at them, pointed at him, and said, can you please stand up? You don't know this, but some odd years ago, I was about to kill myself, but you said hi. That one act of kindness turned my situation around and brought me to a place of thinking and learning that life is worth living. And I want to thank you for that. Now, the reason why I'm saying this story is there are external rewards to the things that we do for other people. Please do not despise or neglect the small acts of kindness that you do to others. Don't ever think that just saying hi to someone or tapping them in the back or just smiling at them will not do anything. But in reality, it will speak volumes in someone's life because you just don't know what they're going through. Especially in our society today where mental health is such an epidemic. People are just going through difficulties in life. I believe as the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to rise up and be the voice of reason for a person to live their lives once again. That's why with me, I say, God, please, every moment that I have with people, let it be moments with you. Every time that I have moments with a person or with a young person, let it be moments with you. Let it be a moment that it will bring life, honor, and hope to a person who's just dying from within. That's why with me, every time I look someone in the eye, I really pay attention to them because I know for a fact that God placed me in this person's life at this moment, at this time, for a specific personal reason. There are external rewards when you truly serve others, especially if your motivation is Jesus. Amen. And lastly is this one, eternal rewards. Luke 15:10 says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. How many say amen to that? See, this is where Jesus' acts of service to his disciples opened up their eyes to believe in him. And us in the same way is this. If you are here and you're passionate to evangelize to people and to really share the love of Jesus, the problem with us Christians is this. Sometimes we talk about Jesus, but our lifestyle does not dictate Jesus. So my suggestion is this, let's show who Jesus is before we talk about Jesus. How many say amen to that? It's not the other way around. Some people are like, oh, you know, you're a sinner, you're going to go to hell, blah, blah. And then, man, and you're the worst person to ever even say that because you're not living the life the way God wants you to live your life. No, I'm not trying to judge anybody here. I'm just generalizing because all of us have been in that situation before. That we've been what I call holier than thou. You're telling somebody not to do something, but in the closed doors, you're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Tap your neighbor and say to them, yeah, he's right, he's right, he's right. Yeah. All of us have been that. If you're not in that boat, please, you know what I'm saying, repent later, please, okay? Okay. But you see what I'm trying to say? So the eternal rewards is very important, but we have a part to play. Make sure that the words that we say and the ways that are, or the ways that we live our lives matches. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is my last main point under letter B. To serve others joyfully is to know that you are the means. Look at you and say, you. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Amen. I've set an example. Verse 15 said, I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. D.L. Moody wrote the following words next to Isaiah 8 in his Bible. It says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by God's grace, I will do. Amen. Joyfully serving others cures us from selfish motives, self-centeredness, and selfishness. Kingsley Chass said, if you wish to be miserable, think about yourself, about what you want, what you like, what respect people ought to pay you, and then to you, nothing will be pure. You will spoil everything you touch. You will make misery for yourself out of everything good. You will be as wretched as you choose. How many of you know that selfishness brings out the ugliness in us? To me, this is one of the most destructive attitudes a person can have. Selfishness feeds a person's insecurities, causing them to compare themselves to others because they don't have what others have. They engage into destructive habits like spending beyond their means, maxing out their credit cards, getting into debt, and sometimes in extreme situations, stealing, swindling people, and lying just to get what others have. Not even caring who will they hurt along the way. Selfishness also feeds lust for things and pleasure, even to the point of destroying other people's lives, families, marriages, and livelihood, just so that you can get what you want. But in realizing what Jesus has done for us and how he has served us, and by receiving his love and grace, we begin to see our worth in him. Listen to me when I say this. Finding our security and our identity in him, causing us to celebrate who we are instead of comparing who we are to others. And a person who is secure in who they are in Christ celebrate others. Instead of competing against them, they choose to compliment them, whether in your marriage, family, church, or community, or workplace. Your goal is to lift others up instead of pulling them down. This is why we experience God's grace by putting our faith in the finished work of Christ that produces an inner change in how we view ourselves and others, causing us to live a life of service to others as Christ Jesus has served us, curing us from selfishness. This is what happens when you truly receive the grace of God and the reality of His love in your life, that you are not worthless. Somebody died for you. You're worth something. And if you know your worth and your identity in Christ, guess what? That will translate in serving others faithfully, sincerely, not expecting anything in return without discrimination, because you know for a fact that's how Jesus was to you. The big idea for today is this. Jesus saved us so we can serve like Him. With Him as our motivation, others as our mission, and us as the means to share the love that we have received from Him through serving others. Amen. Amen.